Good morning and welcome to the Cradle and the Convert. My name is Dan Walker, and with me today is my co-host, Mark Bartholomew.
Yep, here I am, folks.
Welcome.
Back in the flesh. The prodigal son has returned from Florida. I'm back in the land of misery and snow.
And he hasn't changed one bit for all you loyal listeners out there. We are certainly happy and pleased to have you back in the studio.
Thank you.
Our illustrious leader, Mr. Dave Slade,
yes,
cannot be with us today. He is caring for his lovely wife.
He is, Sherry.
Sherry, and so we are going to try to wing this a little bit, and we're like lost souls.
Yeah, definitely. That has nothing to do with the show or us winging it either. So,
but
Dan, I'd like to, you mentioned a good point with Sherry, and I'd like to take just a few minutes here to offer up a couple prayers.
Please do.
First of all, folks, most of you knew Larry Klugman, if not from outside of our radio show, certainly from him being a frequent guest on our show. He was a political science professor at Richland Community College from the day it opened in the old Millikan building in the early 1970s and to the time of his death, actually, on Tuesday morning. He was still a member of that faculty. And Larry was, he was a community figure. People just, you had to love him. The guy was humorous. He was insightful. Such an intelligent guy and so much knowledge. And so I'd like to offer to start with a prayer for Larry's repose.
Let's do.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, we humbly beseech you to accept the repose of the soul of Larry Klugman into your kingdom of everlasting life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And also, dear God, we offer up a prayer for Sherry Slade. This morning, she underwent a procedure yesterday, and we're hoping it was successful, and she's going to be on quick road recovery. Please bless her and watch over her and heal her. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, it's always tough during the holidays
when
families face challenges.
It is. And you know, people forget because it's normally considered a joyous time of the year where, you know, families are coming together and celebrating. And when there is a tragedy or an illness or something like that, death, it certainly puts a damper on the season.
But, you know, our faith
exactly
brings light on all of these. So it really shouldn't be a sad time because we're going to personally not be able to touch and feel.
That's right.
But in our thoughts, their spirit are with us always.
Yes.
But they are happy.
They are.
Can you imagine?
Happy. No, I can't. I try. Honestly, I do try, you know, to think about what it must be like. We lost a longtime parishioner at Holy Family this past week. And such a joyous lady, Dorothy Durbin.
Oh, shoot.
You know, her son Tom posted on social media the morning his mother died. He said, "Mom passed away today to be in heaven with Dad for Christmas." And I thought that was such a statement of faith and a comfort to those of us who miss her smiling face in Mass every week.
A lot of spouses wait for that day.
They sure do. They sure do.
Well, during this Christmas season, had the opportunity to listen to Pope Francis's homily.
Yeah.
And if you remember, a lot of us probably don't remember the gospel from Sunday Mass,
right.
But the good Lord Jesus brought into the world in a manger. So I actually have a text of Pope Francis' homily, and I thought just to kind of review the Christmas day and the Christmas spirit. And right now, we're in they call it the 8 days.
The octave.
The octave.
Yes.
You know, and for those who, and see, what I enjoy about doing this show, it kind of makes me become a better Catholic.
Sure it does.
Because in preparation for the show, I've had to do a little reading, which I normally don't do. And later on, we'll talk about New Year's resolutions,
yeah,
and what we can all do to be better Catholics and also better people.
Right.
Better persons.
Right.
And I got a chance to read.
So you're going to give us some excerpts of it?
Give some excerpts, and if you want to comment on some,
okay,
of them, we can. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we all know Pope Francis and his calling,
yes,
and his humility and how he brings our faith back to where it needs to be.
Yes, indeed. He's a very caring and loving individual.
Yeah. So I'll start with the opening homily. The grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men. The grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men. That says it all there.
It sure does. The
words of the Apostle Paul reveal the mystery of this holy night. The grace of God has appeared. His gift is free. And the child given unto us, the love of God, is made visible. So for all the non-believers, you know, he's
exactly.
talking about, hey, you know, for all these years, and we have the Old Testaments and all the readings, and those, oh, how I admire those of faith, you know, who don't see but believe.
Yes.
But finally, good Lord felt, you know, it's time. I need to send my own son down to this world so you can better believe and also to die for our sins
exactly.
so that we ourselves can be free and
exactly.
One day enter the kingdom. So what a great opening
and
line.
Can you comprehend that level of love for your creation that you would knowingly and intentionally send your child down first to instruct and then to give his very life, to see him tortured and suffer and then give up his life for the purpose of saving your other creations. Just a tremendous, it's almost incomprehensible.
It's powerful, very powerful. But then again, he knows. You know,
sure
when we battle, you know, it's kind of like whether it's our parents or leadership, whether in our government or our boss at work.
Right.
You know, sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do, but we know in the long run it's what we have to do.
That's exactly right.
You know, or the parent taking, you know, disciplining the child.
Right.
You know, sometimes we have to make those choices and know it's going to be painful for them.
Yes.
The last thing we want as a parent is cause our children pain.
Sure.
But sometimes we need to.
For them to learn.
For them to learn, and we know what the ultimate goal is.
That's right.
So, with this sign, the gospel reveals a paradox. It speaks of the emperor, the governor, the mighty of those times, but God does not make himself present there. He does not appear in the grand hall of a royal palace, but in the poverty of a stable, not in a pomp and show, but in the simplicity of life, not in power, but in smallness with surprises. In order to discover him, we need to go there where he is. We need to bow down, humble ourselves, make ourselves small. The child who is born challenges us. He calls us to leave behind fleeting illusions and go to the essence, to renounce our insatiable claims, to abandon our endless dissatisfaction and sadness for something we will never have. It will help us to leave these things behind in order to rediscover in the simplicity of the God-child peace, joy, and the meaning of life.
Wow.
Man, he writes all of his own homilies?
Sure he does. You bet he does. Who could say it better than that?
There's not one wasted word.
No.
You know, you read that a few times, and every phrase has a powerful meaning behind it all.
His humility.
Yeah.
He is a person of humility, great humility, the Pope is.
But he puts into context what Christmas is about.
Yes,
it does.
It's
not about the presents.
Nope.
But it is about our family getting together, celebrating Christ's birth.
Yes.
And how we can support each other in this life and beyond.
Absolutely.
So, yet Christmas has essentially a flavor of hope because notwithstanding the darker aspects of our lives, God's light shines out. His gentle light does not make us fear. God, who is in love with us, draws us to himself with his tenderness. Born poor and fragile among us as one of us, he is born in Bethlehem, which means house of bread. In this way, he seems to tell us that he is born as bread for us.
Indeed.
He enters life to give us life. He comes into our world to give us his love. He does not come to devour or to command, but to nourish and to serve. Thus, there is a direct thread joining the manger and the cross where Jesus will become bread that is broken. It is the direct thread of love which is given and which saves us, which brings light to our lives and peace to our hearts.
Wow. And being of the lineage of David, it's significant they're in Bethlehem because that was David's hometown. King David's hometown.
But it's just amazing.
It is.
I didn't know that Bethlehem meant house of bread.
I read of life. I read it today, as a matter of fact.
About
this morning.
30 seconds ago.
No. You heard it? No, when I was looking at my Magnificat.
Well, Mark, I think now would be a great time to take a short break. You are listening to WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio, 88.9, 96.5, Oriented Decatur.
Meals on Wheels, sponsored by Catholic Charities, has a long, successful history of serving homebound seniors over 60 in Macon County. We are locally focused, and our volunteers are trusted neighbors and friends. Our program allows for a direct interpersonal connection between seniors in our community and the Meals on Wheels volunteers. We are unique in that we deliver all meal types to seniors who would otherwise go hungry. Seniors rely on these meals due to inability to leave their homes or cook for themselves. For further information or to be a part of ending senior hunger by volunteering, please contact Meals on Wheels office at 422-6611. That's 422-6611.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Cradle and the Convert. My name is Dan Walker with my co-host,
Mark Bartholomew.
How do you say that again?
Bartholomew.
Oh, there you go. I bet you half people don't even pronounce it correctly.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
I had to wear my nameplate on my uniform upside down so I could spell it.
I used to just call you Officer.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Well, our regular leader, Mr. Dave Slade, is not with us today.
Nope.
He's taking a little break, taking care of his beautiful wife,
yep.
Sherry.
Yep.
So I want to say, Dave, we are thinking about you guys.
We are.
Hope things went well for you, and look forward to seeing you back here next week.
And that's Sherry's sure. Anxious for you to get out of her hair, so come back.
Yeah, it's only been less than a few hours.
And
get out of here. Well, that'd be a New Year's resolution? Something
yeah.
Like that. I got to figure that one out.
Yeah.
Hey, earlier in the show, we talked about the Catholic octaves.
Yes, we did.
And so this is a big quiz since we've been studying. How many octaves are in the Catholic calendar?
Two.
Two. And what are they?
Well, there's the 8 days after Easter and the 8 days after Christmas.
Pretty good.
How about that? I didn't read that this morning in my Magnificat, though, before you accuse me.
There you go. Hey, why don't you explain what is for those who don't know, what is the Magnificat?
The Magnificat is a prayer aid, really, Dan. It carries a morning prayer that you can say. It carries the daily mass prayers for the daily mass of each day of the month. It has a meditation, which is similar to a homily on the gospel from that mass. And then there are evening prayers. I generally say mine around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, between 4 and 6. It takes maybe 5 or 6 minutes to pray and read the different sections as you go through the day. But then there's also night prayers in there, which are before retiring. When you're going to climb into bed, you spend 5 minutes and say your night prayers.
Your definition of retiring is different than my definition of retiring.
Well, it's not a lot different in my life. I mean, you know, I just kind of stopped when I retired. So,
so it's a book.
It's a publication,
okay.
Yes.
And then how do you, if someone wants to, you know, we have the Bible.
Yes.
We go to the Bible. But,
yes.
The Bible doesn't really teach us about the church calendar.
No.
And that's where a lot of us, I think, as cradle Catholics, we
yes.
kind of, even though we grew up reading the Bible.
And going through it year after year after year.
We don't fully comprehend the whole Catholic calendar versus
right.
the calendar year.
Right. Well, that's why and we know this. I've always said that Catholicism is not a faith in and of itself. It is a way of life. It is a lifestyle.
Amen.
And by that, I mean, we do things I think other faiths do not do. We have daily masses. Not every other denomination has a daily service. And when you talk about the duty to read the Bible to learn of your faith, Dan, if you go to daily mass, if you have the opportunity to do that, if you're retired or you work evenings or something like that, and you go to the daily mass, There's a gospel every single day. And after the three-year cycle, you know, we know from being readers that there's a three-year cycle. There's an A, B, and C year.
Well, some of us could read and never knew there was a three-year cycle.
Yeah, well, that's possible. You got to read the early stuff, not just the reading for the that you're going to do at Mass. You have to read the extra. But it's actually what it does is teach you the, you have virtually with the Psalms, the responsorials, they're the Psalms in the Mass. When you attend Mass, daily Mass, and the weekend Masses, you've pretty much for 3 years, you've pretty much read the Bible. You've heard the Bible, you've read the Bible. And you've especially read it, in my mind, how I do it. I have read it cover to cover, but I also get the Magnificat. So every morning before I go to daily Mass, I know what the gospel is and the reading, the single reading is for that day, and the responsorial. Because sometimes I get there and somebody wasn't able to come or was sick that day, then I'll get up and read during the daily Mass service. And you learn so much because there's also a little homily. That meditation of the day is a little homily based on the gospel and the reading.
You know what? Also, just hearing you speak about reading it, that same reading, and we will preview coming up. This coming Sunday's
yes.
gospel.
Yes.
But so many people will follow the gospel through the text while they're at church.
Right.
And I don't think you read it, you hear it, but you really don't absorb it. So maybe if you pre-read it.
Yep.
And then when you're at church, at Mass, you don't have to open up the book.
That's
then
right.
Then you can just hear it again, but then you maybe can pull more things out of the words.
I try and go to daily Mass. Now, we're having company in, so, you know, I may not make it every day this week. The remainder of this week, but I normally try and go to daily Mass, and I always know before I walk in that church what the reading is and what the gospel is because I've read it at home.
Yeah.
You know, and I have it two ways. I have it electronically. It's on my iPhone. You can download the app for Magnificat.
Well, that's probably the easiest way.
Yeah, sure. But I also get the monthly publication that comes. It has it in print.
So that's one great tool
yes.
that we as Catholics can
yes.
do if we want to deepen our faith, be better Catholics, learn more about our Catholic faith.
And if we only have 10 or 15 minutes at different parts of the day with our busy schedule, you can still get your morning prayer, your meditation. If you want to save the homily till lunchtime or something like that, then you can do your afternoon prayer, what I call the evening, and then there's the night prayer before you go to bed.
Yeah. Well, that might be.
That's how you say go to bed. I say retire for the day.
Well, I'm talking about retiring, like, you know,
yeah,
work.
No work.
Well,
yeah.
You know, so I've got two retire.
See, that's history for me. So it's good. Retirement has a different meaning now.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Well, you're
that.
Welcome. So that's you know, it's just one of the ways we do that. And another way while we're talking about this is there are millions of Catholic books out there about our faith. That teaches all kinds of things. In fact, you and I are both in the process of trying to get Scott Hahn's book
yeah.
on the
right.
Lamb. Yeah. And that is another way. I read a lot. I'm not a reader. I've never been a reader in my life, but the faith interests me. And if you get the right authors, they make it so interesting. It's a book you can't put down, really.
I enjoy the historical
yes.
text of it, too,
yes.
which helps me fully understand the words better, and you know how they are inspired,
right?
And whatnot. One of the things I always do go to Mass early, and I,
yes.
at Our Lady Lourdes, they
yes.
have the New American Bible sitting
right.
at the end of every pew.
Yep.
And so I actually make a point to go there a little bit early, open it up, and I don't care what I open it to, but I like to read the preface of
yes.
each gospel
oh,
to
yeah.
understand the context of how the books were written, who wrote them. You know, were they written in 60 A.D. or were they written in 300 A.D.?
Well,
and,
sure.
You know, that sort of thing. But just understanding, you just learn so much.
And the passages, they're footnoted. And then there's the notes down there that lead you through the passage. I mean, how often have you read a verse of the Bible and thought, what does that mean?
Yeah.
But then there's a footnote. And you look down in the New American Bible and it's annotated down there of exactly why it was said the way it was said and what it meant.
But the only thing I don't like is when there's a footnote after every phrase.
Yeah, I
can't
I
really comprehend the context of the whole.
Yeah, I know
back
that,
and forth.
Well, that's
forth.
Why you got to read it more than once. You read it to read it the first time, then you go through and read for effect by getting the meaning. Then you go back and read it and say, oh, I know what that means.
Yeah. Well, once you do it, you do appreciate it more.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think once you understand it more, then you're more compelled to read more of it.
And that's why I call Catholicism a lifestyle, because it does, if you practice faithfully, it does change your life. It has to, because the time of day is important for prayer and getting in that groove of doing it, and you become much more faithful.
I think the mental state and the mental personal well-being, I think maybe how we feel about ourselves.
Yep.
You know, we'll talk about New Year's resolutions later on here and talking about
tomorrow. Yeah, that sounds good. We ought to get into that.
We may run out of time and not get to those.
No, we got all kinds of time.
I'm kind of like got the agenda. So
okay, you're the production engineer
today.
You can
try to get it in there ahead of time. But
okay, I'll try and squeeze something
but
in.
I'll divert.
All right.
For a while here, at least, okay. While we can. What were we talking about?
Well, you were going to talk about the octaves.
There we go. Is that?
Yeah, we kind of digressed there.
That sounds like when you inquire. Oh, that's octave.
Yeah,
octave. I'm always octave off. So okay. All right, octaves. We got octave. Eight octaves during the Christmas
indeed
celebration year.
That's
so, do you know what some of those dates are?
Well,
you have them
see.
In front of you.
Oh, I do. I'm a wealth of knowledge here.
Dave Slade set these out for us.
Did he really?
Yes.
Bless his heart.
So, Dave, in case you didn't know that.
All right. December 26th, December 28th, January 1st, January 8th, and January 9th.
Yep.
All of those occur after Christmas Day. And they're still part of Christmas, according to the octave.
Let's talk about December 26th.
All right, well, let's.
Because that's past.
Yes.
And actually, that's my mom's birthday.
Is it really?
Which is kind of sad. Cause
she missed being a Christmas baby by a day.
Yes, yes. But she was a martyr. She had six kids.
Oh, man.
And she earned her mother. She was a beautiful, beautiful woman.
Oh, I'm sure she was.
But anyway, December 26th is when we honored and continue to honor Saint Stephen.
Yes.
That is one of the dates of the octave.
And the first martyr.
And why is he the first martyr? Or we believe him to be the first
martyr. Well, that's not really, you know what? Here's a little piece of information for you. Actually, he was not the first martyr. The first martyr were those hundreds of babies that were killed at King Herod's issue. You know, he was trying to find the Christ child and kill him. He was jealous of his authority. So the first martyrs of the church were those infants that were slaughtered by King Herod's people in his decree, where Joseph was alerted by the angel and grabbed Mary and Jesus, and they went to Egypt in exile for a while until Herod's death to save Jesus from being one of those infants that was martyred.
But I think St. Stephen was probably the first martyr after Christ's death.
Yeah, yes.
I'm sure there's plenty of martyrs, as we know, before Christ's birth.
After the church was established, I think you're right.
Yeah. So, and then what you talked about was King Herod did.
Yeah.
That's one of the other octaves.
Yes, it is. I was leading into that.
And that is yesterday.
But did you know, with Stephen, St. Stephen, did you know who orchestrated his stoning and his martyrdom?
No, I don't.
The Apostle Paul. St. Paul, actually, that was before his conversion. He was actually there in Jerusalem and witnessed, presided over. That's what he did. He was persecuting Christians.
Did he Christian. Not take the Romans to show where St. Stephen was to identify him?
You know, I don't remember. Possibly.
Because they were looking for the, not blasphemers, but I'm not sure what word.
Looking for the church.
Yeah.
Anyone against.
Because they fully didn't comprehend the king.
That's
how we interpreted Jesus Christ versus King Herod. And,
that's exactly
they were
right.
They in conflict, you know, that whole
That's
deal.
What caused it.
So, well, the so we just honored St. Stephen, which is one of the, you got Christmas. And then,
and he was also one of the first deacons ordained by the church. Stephen was.
They had deacons back then.
Hell yeah.
I wonder what they would definition of a deacon, the same as this today.
Apparently, you know, someone that was educated and could assist, but perhaps hadn't been formally ordained as an apostle.
Probably just committed himself.
Right, right.
To Christ.
Right. Very faithful. And probably an honorary thing, I would guess. You know, deacon actually was a table server, if I remember the term for the deacon at the time. And they were servers of the table. And if you notice, when there's a deacon present in the Mass, he normally does set the Eucharist up. And the Mass table, the altar itself, set it up for the priest. And then the priest comes and actually does a consecration.
Yeah, carry on to this day, 2,000 years later.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, just for the listeners, for those who may not, maybe first-time listeners, just to let you know that we are not theologians.
No, no, no.
Mark, I, and Dave, and any of our guests.
Far from
it. Some of our guests are theologians, but we are just lay people, Catholics, who are attempting and living our faith and trying to grow in our faith and want to share our faith with you. And hopefully we can shed some different perspectives for our listeners that to help you deepen your faith and become better Catholics, better
Christians.
That's
our goal.
So that's our goal. Just want to make sure that people understand. Every once in a while, we may say something incorrect, and for which we are sorry. We'll try to correct it the following week. But
well, you know, January 1st, Dan, is another one of those octave days, and a lot of people don't realize that that's a holy day. You know, they know Christmas, they know Easter.
I bet you most people go to this holy day.
Yeah, yeah.
It is on a Sunday.
Yes, it is.
It's kind of hard to miss that one.
It is indeed. But it's a solemnity of Mary, who, of course, was Mother of God. And a lot of people don't realize that's a holy day of obligation, and that we're required to attend Mass.
Do you know off the top of your head approximately how many holy days of obligation we have?
You know, at one time there were 14, and it seems to me like it's been pared down to maybe there's...
Once a month, maybe, something like that.
No, not really. Maybe 8.
Yeah.
I think maybe it was pared down to.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
So, so we will honor Mary, the Mother of God, this coming Sunday.
Yep.
And
then January 8th, what comes up then?
Celebrate Epiphany.
Yeah, that's right, the Epiphany. The Feast of the Three Kings, visiting the Holy Family.
Now, what kind of wisdom? Talking about wise men.
Wow.
I mean, that's a different take on the wise men.
Exactly.
You know, it's not wise men because they're wise of the world.
No.
But that's blind faith.
Absolutely. Follow a star. They were following the star.
Now, that's wise men to have that kind of faith and to. So we celebrate that on January 8th. And what else? Epiphany means manifestation.
That's right.
The visit of the Magi revealed Christ as the light of the nations they came from different countries and were the first Gentiles to pay homage to Jesus.
Yep. Wow. And, of course, the second, if you will, epiphany was at Jesus' baptism in the Jordan by John the Baptist, St. John the Baptist, where the clouds opened up and the booming voice of the Lord came down and said, "This is my son," you know.
You're doing that pretty good, because this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased.
Well, yeah.
See, Mark wasn't even reading anything. I'm prepared.
Well, you were fretting over time a minute ago. I was trying to cut some time out.
Well, thank you.
I'm trying to take some stress off of you, buddy.
Yeah, well, okay. I can appreciate that. So,
and then January 9th.
Yeah, that is the solemnity of the baptism of the Lord.
That's right.
So, and that will end the octaves.
Indeed.
For the Christmas season. So that's kind of nice.
It's interesting information that folks should know.
Well, we're going to take another little short break, maybe hear from a sponsor or two. And then when we return, we will listen to this coming gospel. We might, if we have time, talk about some New Year's resolutions.
Okay.
And I know, Mark, you've got a few you've been anxious to share with me.
No, I really don't. I dread those.
And then we may have some community calendar and some other things. So thank you for listening. You are listening to The Cradle and the Convert.
We'll be right back.